summit opening ceremony on Monday in Glasgow, Scotland. To see the whole opening ceremony, we'll link to it at democracynow.org. Next week, we'll continue to bring you Climate Countdown, our comprehensive coverage of what's happening at the UN summit, as we have for every UN climate summit since Copenhagen in 2009, featuring voices inside the COP, climate activists protesting outside, and advocates from the global south who couldn't travel to Scotland during the pandemic. More than 100,000 people are expected to be in the streets of Glasgow on Saturday. We'll air highlights on Monday. You can visit us at democracynow.org to see all of our coverage this week. And that does it for our show. Happy birthday to John Hamilton. Democracy Now! Has job openings at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe.
KABU Community Hello Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations the OCA, and programming Walt of KABU Disney, in accordance with the requirements General of the Electric, Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to temporary closure of in-station activity at KABU, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Personnel Committee meets on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. So excited to be here with you this morning. I'm Althea. Tammy is here as well. And we have a great show lined up. But before we get into that, what is The Gap? Let me give you a little rundown of what it is we like to try to do here. The Gap is a show that, you know, we are... Oh, Tammy, please.
Hello. Sorry. Excuse me. Not that yes. The buttons here, are they really missed us touching them. So they're just like, please touch all of me because I don't know which one I... Yes.
I need attention.
Exactly. Yeah. The Gap. You're right, Althea. Like you were saying, please. Here on KBOO Portland, this is a space where we mine and bridge and fill the gap, if need be sometimes, between the happenings on the internet and the interwebs, as well as current events and other things, and combine them together, bring them here, and share them with you. Usually we do a two-part for devotees of the show know this, but if you're new, this is a two-part show. In the first part, we usually do either a news roundup or we have an interview, and today we do have a fantastic interview lined up. And then for the second part of the show, we're going to be taking calls for our community question, and that's usually how it goes. So without further ado, Althea, would you like to introduce our interview?
Yeah, so very exciting. We have on the line with us today the general manager of Ridwell in Portland, Taylor Lowen. Hi, Taylor. How's it going this morning?
Morning, Althea and Tammy. It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here with us. So, I mean, let's jump into the nitty-gritty if we could. Can you start out by telling us a little bit about what Ridwell does?
Absolutely. So, essentially, we just want to make it as easy as possible to waste less. We got started a couple years ago in 2018 in Seattle. A fellow named Ryan Metzger, who had, I think, what a lot of people in America have, a room in his house is like the get rid of everything room, where he had all these items he was meant to get rid of, and he just was struggling to find, you know, calling three or four places just to figure out, how do I responsibly recycle batteries? And he started engaging with neighbors, asking when he was driving to places if they had stuff. And it became this kind of recycling carpool that expanded well beyond his neighborhood. And that's when you realize there might be a great business model there. They were very successful in Seattle. We launched in Portland almost a year ago, in November, actually, of 2020. And since then, the response in Portland has just been incredible. You know, I think that reuse recycle ethos really resonates with Portlanders here. So we offer a bi-weekly pickup directly at our members' front doors, and then we pick up 5 different categories every 2 weeks. That's your light bulbs, your batteries, clothing, whether it's in good condition or ripped up. You know, we have a partner that takes the ripped up clothing and actually turns into cleaning rags. Plastic film, which is our biggest category by far, and that's really all that stretchy, flexible plastics like your bubble wrap, your Ziploc bags, these Amazon mailers. That gets ground down with wood chips and made into composite lumber. And then my favorite category is actually our 5th category, which is a featured one. Rotates every 2 weeks and goes to different community organizations and nonprofits here in Portland, like Children's Book Bank, Oregon Humane Society, Scrap, you know, all types of great local nonprofits here.
Yeah, that's very cool. I had the lucky opportunity to get to tour the Ridwell warehouse last week and to see some of all of the stuff that you do for your members. So yeah, to be clear, it's a membership service. Folks sign up and pay a certain amount a month to be able to responsibly recycle these particular items. And you mentioned a couple different categories. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, which the main categories, where those materials end up?
Absolutely. So when you're looking at our main categories, plastic film, the one I mentioned, is our biggest. Like 80% of our customers week after week are giving us all types of plastic film. It goes to a company called Trex. So Trex is one of our few out-of-state partners. So they take all that plastic film, and that's when it's like made into composite lumber. And a lot of it's turned into composite decking that we use here in Oregon. Mm. That's just going to last longer than wood for outdoor spaces. Our batteries and light bulbs go to locally here to Ecolights, and they're broken down into their respective components. So, you know, different chemical components for batteries, different pieces like glass and metal for light bulbs. And then our clothing goes to Pioneer Wiping Cloths. They're located in St. John's. They run for over 80 years, just a great local partner. And so the good clothing gets resold and reused. And then the clothing in poor condition, like I said, is made into the cleaning rags. And then we also have some add-ons. So one of our biggest add-ons is plastic clamshells. So plastic clamshells are something that really there was no solution for when we launched Ridwell back in November anywhere in Oregon. And so that was a huge issue that it was clear to me we needed to address, because hundreds of members were writing in asking what we were going to do about clamshells. And, you know, wish we could have an in-state partner, but I called hundreds of recyclers all around the state and country, finally found one in Texas, this great place called Green Impact. And they were able to take all those berry containers, salad containers, peanut butter containers, grind them down into food-grade quality clamshell flakes, and then actually turn them back into new clamshells, which is pretty amazing.
That is very cool. Yeah, wanted to give a brief clarification. The clamshells are those plastic containers from the grocery store that have a hinge, like you said, berries, yep, or salad greens. And it's interesting that so Ridwell has locations in Seattle and Denver, but Portland is the one spot that was a unique solution, because curbside recycling doesn't address that. Is that right?
Correct. So, you know, we're really, the work that we do is driven by our membership base, and really our members are the catalyst for the change that we're trying to create. So in Seattle, it wasn't an issue, because in King County, they accept these plastic clamshells at curbside. Similarly, launching Denver, that wasn't a priority. We really want to be complementary to curbside recycling. So we're filling in the gap of things that are missing from those services, things that may not be able to be taken at a citywide level. So starting in Portland, it was that was a gap that wasn't addressed here in Portland or really in Oregon, anywhere here in the state. So it was something different and new specific to this market. And the amount of just frustration and guilt that people have throwing away all that plastic was really the driver and put pressure on me to think about how do we solve this for people? How do we make it where people can still buy their berries and their salad greens and know that they can responsibly recycle those plastic clamshells?
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. This is Tammy here. Quick question for you. You mentioned the membership and that they're kind of like the catalyst. Can you talk a little bit about that and what it's been, you know, introducing Ridwell to Portland?
100%. So I think for me, Ridwell and Portland grew even faster than I was told. And I was given some pretty ambitious goals when I started. You know, you'll be launching this, and within the first couple of months, you'll have a couple thousand members. And really just thinking about how quickly we've grown, the response has been immense. You know, we've been here for just under a year, and there's 18,000 members here in the Portland metro area. And, you know, I think after a lot of years of label confusion and unmet expectations and unproductive wish recycling, there's a lot of just like distrust about whether individual recycling efforts really make a difference. But since starting Ridwell service in 2018, you know, collectively between Denver, Seattle, and Portland, we've kept 2.75 million pounds of trash out of the landfill. And that's all because of small actions of individuals in thousands of households. And so, you know, I think once people started seeing those bins on their neighbors' porches and having conversations with them and understanding what we were doing, things just really took off. It was just me a year ago delivering some bins around some neighborhoods, and now there's 43 employees on my staff and thousands of members here across Portland.
Wow, that is significant. And your coverage area is most of the Portland metro, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we do all of the metro Portland with the exception of a couple of downtown areas as we're trying to figure out the best way to scale up for large apartment complexes. We're also in kind of Beaverton, Hillsboro, Lake Oswego, and then Vancouver as well.
Very cool. And so, you know, you've mentioned that there's been, you know, a lot of consumers that have gotten in with Ridwell even in just this first year. So, like, in talking to people, who do you find makes up, who is like really interested in being a part of this service? What are those folks like?
Yeah, you know, I think it's people who, I think this last year has been really telling for everybody. I think the election last year, I think the fires last year, I think there's people who really care about what they can do to help with climate change. It's top of mind. And so, you know, I'll say the vast majority of our members are women, actually. About 80% of our members are women. But they are just engaged individuals who are looking to do their own part on an individual basis to try and reuse and recycle as much as possible and just try and keep items at the landfill. So it's a very engaged member base. If we send out a survey, there's a very high response rate on feedback. Our members write in daily by the thousands with questions, suggesting local nonprofits to reach out to. Just a very engaged group of people who genuinely care about what their part can be in our broader environment and also like just their part in helping save our planet.
Right. Yeah, definitely. All you know, it's a all hands on deck, as they say. And, you know, it sounds like the community, you know, is really into this, and it's filling up, it's filling, you know, a gap that where otherwise things would have just fallen through the cracks. Is that a pun? I don't know. I was trying to make it funny. But I was just kind of wondering, what was the city's response to Ridwell and, you know, like city ordinance and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, we reached out to the city before even coming here, and they welcomed us with open arms. It's interesting with different cities because we don't quite fit in standard boxes. So, you know, they've worked with us over the last year. They actually recently cleaned up some code and ordinance to just make it, to ensure that we can operate here and make it very clear that services outside the normal trash structure, like Ridwell and other types of companies, are able to really think outside the box, be innovative, and work with local residents here to figure out how we can help each other just keep things out of the landfill.
Definitely. And I really like that phrase that you used, wish recycling. Can you explain, talk about that and kind of explain how Ridwell, I guess, turns it from a wish to reality?
Absolutely. I mean, so when we talk about wish recycling, I think there's this misunderstanding where if you see a recycle symbol on an item, you assume that it's recyclable. And sure, all those items may be something that could be processed and recycled, but there isn't necessarily an end market for everything. I think clamshells is a great example. So we really work with our members in clarifying that the type of clamshell we take is number one clear plastic. and it can't have any dyes or tints in it. So those takeout containers with a clear lid and a black bottom doesn't work, some of those other types of things. And the reason is when we work with companies that grind them down to clamshell flakes and extrude them into new sheets of plastic, they can't extract those dyes back out. So when you're working with companies like Driscoll's, they want to have clear plastic so people can see the berries in their clamshells. So there's frankly just no real end market for dyed number one plastic in the industry currently. However, you'll see a recycle symbol on those items. So I think even at curbside, there's a lot of misunderstanding about if I just throw everything in my curbside has a recycle symbol, it will all go to a good place and it will all get recycled. So we're really trying to help with education of our members and also just work with this industry. You know, just last week we unveiled a transparency page on our company's website that sets a new standard for openness in the recycling industry. We'll now be publishing ongoing information about where recyclables and reusables actually end up in real time with ongoing data on contamination in order to restore public trust and kind of improve waste reduction efforts across the country. We believe it's kind of like time to pull back the curtain as an industry and just be more transparent in our recycling efforts. So we can tell our members, hey, with our clamshells, of all the things we're receiving, 92.5% is going to our recycler. But there is another 7-ish% that isn't, and it's because it's number 5 plastic you're giving us. We got to look at the numbers, or it's tinted plastic. And so really helping them give us less contamination, as well as just being transparent about where things go.
Right. Thank you so much. I'm very familiar with those numbers, and I never know what they mean. So hopefully a little later on, we'll also be able to get some tips from you. But Althea, I know you have a question.
Well, yeah, with the little recycling symbol and the numbers, that, you know, that definitely is a train of thought that I've had in the past, and like a level of, yeah, it's probably going to be fine. But it's almost like the industry has, well, and specifically the plastic industry has created that so that it is not transparent to the consumer about what they're really purchasing.
100%. I think, you know, a lot of the people making the products are like, well, as long as it's feasibly, theoretically recyclable, you know, I can get this symbol put on it. But is there an end market? Is there an actual recycler in the state where this product's being sold that can take those items? Is there an avenue through which the city can funnel all those items to get recycled? Those are all the challenges on the back end, and they really put the onus on us as consumers to figure those pieces out, and city and local government. And kind of, it's a little bit of a pass the buck kind of thing for a lot of big companies. So, you know, I think that's part of the reason that it's just really challenging when you look at recycling as a whole. It's very complex. So there's things that we take in broadly at curbside, and there's a lot of stuff that's recyclable or reusable that isn't taken at curbside. And really, you know, Ridwell focuses on reusables as much as they can, more than recyclables. You know, we prefer to find a reuse or repurpose option for what we collect. And that's where a lot of our featured categories come in. You know, books sitting in people's homes that can go into, that you're not using, that can go into the homes of kids who don't have any books or can't afford to have books. Your old metal bottle caps being given to scrap for art projects. Your old fleece blankets going to the Feral Cat Coalition of Oregon so they can use in their catch release program. All these things and items we have in our homes that you can't do curbside, but you don't want to throw in the landfill necessarily. And that's a large majority of the efforts we do, is reallocating those efforts, those items. Schoolhouse supplies is a great, great example. You know, a lot of people in their homes have extra markers or random notebooks or old puzzles. This is a group that gives items to the most underfunded schools and teachers across the community. They get to go in a warehouse and go shopping among all these items. And so old items in your home can be given new life in classrooms. That's really the kind of drive that we're trying to do when we think about reuse and recycle.
Yeah, and I think there's something very satisfying to me to think about, you know, validating the impulse that when you have something, you know, for example, crayons, that was one of the variety items you collected recently, that, you know, they're not so unusable that they're trash, but they're not in regular use. I'm not going to throw them away, but they're taking up space and taking up mental space as well. That being able to have that go to a good home is very cool. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit about some of the variety category pickups you've been doing?
Absolutely. So crayons was a recent category. What I loved about that is that we were able to pick up old, broken crayons, ones in really poor condition that you wouldn't even want to use anymore, like the nubs of crayons that you can barely hold on to, all those bits and pieces and ends. We have a great partner that we use for that called the Crayon Initiative. They take all those old crayons, sort them into different colors, melt them down, and then create new crayons out of just the rubble, basically, of what people have in their homes. And they ship those brand new crayons to children's hospitals all across the country, including here in Oregon. So that's a great example of, like, you really don't have much use in your house, but it does not have to the landfill. And by collecting over 10,000 pounds of crayons in 2 weeks from our members, we're going to be allowing kids to use those old items as new crayons in hospitals, which is really cool to think about. And I think, so Children's Book Bank was one of my absolute favorite categories that we've done, where we had a nonprofit organization that during COVID simply wasn't getting enough donations of books. There was more hurdles. You had to make an appointment, you had to wear a mask, you had to do this cart, like, drive-up thing. And so they were looking at having to potentially not be able to fund through books all of their summer programming. Through Ridwell, we were able to get them 10,000 books within just 2 weeks of pickups from people's homes. And they were not only able to fulfill their normal programming, but add more on. And when we talk about books, like, there are parts of Oregon in this country in low-income neighborhoods where there's one book for every 300 kids. So that home library program they do here in Portland is essential to help give kids access to reading materials and really set them up for success when they go to school. And I think that's kind of the big dream we're trying to do, is what are the things sitting in your house? Like, I have 4 pairs of old eyeglass frames, and I'm excited that we're going to do that as a pickup here in a few weeks, and it's going to go to a nonprofit that pops out the lenses, puts in new ones, and gives them to underserved communities. I've had these glasses frames for years. They're old prescriptions, but I just didn't want to throw them in the trash. I felt bad. I didn't know what to do with them. So I think that's, you know, it's really thinking about what are in people's homes that they're not using, but they just don't want to send the landfill, and how can we give them new life with other groups or people?
Right, and seeing how that becomes so much bigger and more meaningful when you're able to scale it up to that level, right? Like, there's definitely, like, a cost-benefit analysis of being responsible about trying to find a home for unused items that you're not working with anymore. But, you know, as a community, that is, you know, my box of old crayons is now turned into 10,000 pounds that can turn into crayons and have that be so much more when it is that collective, which I think is really cool.
100%. Yeah, and, you know, really, we're not doing things super unique. I think clamshells would be the one exception. Almost everything else, like, you could go and drop off around Oregon. You know, we're not hiding that fact. But depending on the family or the location, if they own a car, it may be more or less difficult to replicate all the categories you collect. And it would certainly take a lot of time and energy and potentially driving to complete the same task. So that's why we help make responsible disposal just accessible and seamless for our members. And then also we create partnerships with all those great local organizations that would be hard for an individual to accomplish alone. So by combining the efforts of our broader community, we can deliver a much, much bigger impact to the partners that we support.
That's fantastic. I'm thinking of just a bunch of kids and teachers going on a shopping spree and getting all these crayons and stuff, and it's really... that's really awesome, you know, like Althea was saying, it's just kind of like taking your little bit and adding it to a greater thing, and then, you know, having it just be such a critical mass, you know, going from like these things that just kind of taking up space. And that's really beautiful. And I want to know, you know, if people are interested in Ridwell, can you tell them how they can learn more about the service, but also what is exactly the service? You said it's pickup every 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah. So if people want to know more about the service, they can go to ridwell.com and they can just put in their zip code, and then they'll be able to know if we're actively servicing their area. And then it has all the information on our website about what we take. But the, you know, if somebody signs up for an annual membership, they're going to pay $12 a month. To me, I'm like thinking about that as like one Chipotle a month with extra guac. It's like $12 a month, and then we come direct. They get a bin, a metal bin. They get 5 canvas bags from us for those 5 core categories, plus a couple extra bags for add-ons, including clamshells, including styrofoam, you know, polystyrene, You can also do fluorescent light tubes, those fun things. So once you have that, you get all the information about on your dashboard. Every member has a dashboard. And so you see your pickup date. It's the same day every 2 weeks. Come directly to your door. We text you right after we do the pickup so you know that it happened. And then on your dashboard, you can see the next 4 to 5 featured categories. So we did tools, for example. You can start thinking about, okay, let's start going through the garage, see if there's old tools. We found a great partner, Rebuilding Center, that was able to take broken tools, antique tools, ones you're just not using anymore, and then very quickly disperse those, fix them up, and send them out to the community for reuse. So whether it's tools, it's wine corks, you want to start saving up all the holidays, holiday lights to start going through, you get to see those 4 or 5. So you really can be prepared for your pickup items. And then you just simply drop the items into the canvas bags. Drop your batteries in the battery bag, your clothing in the threads bag, your clamshells in the clamshell bag, opt into your pickup, and then we drive to your house. And we have our members opt in by the night before. And the reason we don't go to every member's household is we want to be mindful of our carbon footprint. We have a really high opt-in rate. 85 to 92% of our members opt in for every pickup. But that leaves a couple hundred homes that might be people out of town or didn't get a chance to go through their stuff that week. And so we're allowed to optimize our routes and really just save and have a smaller carbon footprint through that. So it's a pretty well-organized system. So simple membership and then just ongoing communication. We always do, at the end of the month, kind of a spotlight on, you know, we just send an email out saying, hey, this is how many crowns you picked up. This is where it's going. For October, we'll probably, November, we'll probably do one on winter warmth. That we're collecting, it's going to Rose Haven, which is a day shelter for women and children, also ERCO, which is currently working with recent refugees from Afghanistan. So there's pretty ongoing communication between us and our members so they understand like what the impact is they're making.
Thank you. That's awesome. I hope that folks can learn more, and like you said, $12, that's I personally can swing that, so that's not too bad. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking about just like, yeah, making up that deficit, getting out of the wish cycling habit.
Yes, and it's definitely, it's not even, it's like beyond wish. It's just like, is this, I don't know. And all the numbers and the, I thought there was just one kind of plastic, and oh, am I wrong?
Absolutely.
Taylor, definitely. Are there things that you've learned through working at Ridwell that influences how you are as a consumer now?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think going back to that clamshell and number one plastic, having an understanding that tinted or colored plastic really doesn't have an end market. If I'm at the grocery store and I see two different containers of hummus, and one is a tinted container, a dyed container, and one is a clear number one container, I'm going to choose the clear number one container. I'm also paying a little bit more attention to numbers. I know that number five plastic isn't really taken at curbside if it's a clamshell, and I can't recycle it. So if there's a deli container that's number five and there's another deli container of similar products that's number one, I'm going to choose that number one because I know that those number one clear items can be 100% recycled into brand new clamshells, whereas those number five clamshells or dyed ones are going to go straight to the landfill. So those are some of the things I think about when in the store. It's like, what number am I buying? Is it a clear item? Even, you know, at curbside, they take containers that are 6 ounces or bigger. So if I'm looking at a yogurt container that's smaller than 6 ounces, like, well, do I need three individual yogurt containers? Or can I buy a larger yogurt container and just portion it out myself? And then it's recyclable. It's those small things, thinking about size of items, numbers of items. I've learned a lot through this process, just understanding what is curbside, what can Ridwell take, and then what are the gaps that nobody can take that unfortunately goes to landfill.
Yeah, definitely. That's that, and all the different plastics for sure. And do you have any tips that listeners can take home with them or take to the recycling with them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the main tips are really just being more mindful about size of containers, that 6 ounce minimum here in Portland, and the numbers of plastic as well. I think those are the two big things. Also, I really, you know, one thing that's really hard to avoid is that polystyrene, that styrofoam. It's just in everything that we purchase. We get so much through the holidays. And so thinking about what kind of packaging things come in, there's a lot of companies that might have better packaging than others. And so if you are noticing you're buying a product consistently and it's coming with tons of polystyrene, which we don't even know how long it takes to break down the landfill, because it's never happened, thinking about, okay, is there a similar product I can buy that has less packaging? I think it's those individual consumer decisions and just being mindful or paying attention as you're purchasing things.
Right. And I think especially with some of the holidays coming up and gift wraps and packaging, it's extra important to be mindful.
100%. You know, Americans waste 25% more over the holidays just without thinking about it, because there's so much packaging and everything. So that's a great call out. And one thing that I'm really interested to see what we'll get is after the holidays, we're going to collect holiday decor that people is still in good use, but, you know, is dated or people no longer want to use in their homes for Goodwill. And I think my warehouse is excited to see what kind of funky Portland holiday decor we're going to get in our pickups after the holidays.
Oh, that'll be fun. I bet a lot of incandescent lights, so it's it's nice and warm lights, and who knows what
100%.
Else.
100%.
A lot of DIY projects I can see.
Maybe some tinsel. I can anticipate.
A lot of tinsel.
Yeah, lots of tinsel.
Well, Taylor, we are coming up on the end of our time together. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Before we wrap, do you have any final thoughts, anything we haven't covered yet that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, one thing that I'll note about Ridwell is that we are continually looking for more new community partners. We do a lot of pop-ups for free with different nonprofits. We're doing some like holiday bazaar stuff. And then also other community partners that really are like, oh, we could use a bunch of holiday decor or winter warmth or another item that you think is in a home. You can email us at help@ridwell.com. And we have a pretty robust member success team that's always looking for those suggestions. And we really, as I mentioned before, our members are the ones driving the change that we're trying to create. So if people out here in the community have suggestions, have partners, things they want us to look at or check into, let us know. We'd love to partner with different groups and figure out how we can really help the Portland community waste less.
Awesome. Well, Taylor Lowen, Portland General Manager of Ridwell, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Awesome. Thanks, Althea. Thanks, Tammy. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.
So that was our interview with Taylor Lowen, the General Manager of Ridwell in Portland. Ridwell, as we've been discussing, is a membership business that collects, is kind of like a complement to curbside recycling, that collects a variety of items for reuse and recycling, some of which there isn't really a home for in the Portland area otherwise, specifically those plastic clamshells. So it was great to get to talk with Taylor, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our community question momentarily.
Thank you.
you are listening to KBOO Portland. That was Into the Light by Marissa Anderson, local artist.
Mm.
Yes, very good stuff. They recently had a new record come out. Is it Mississippi Records? It might be.
Okay.
Just plugging it in there.
Well, yeah, you're listening to The Gap on KBOO. Bring that back around.
Yes.
But yeah, we're into the second half now for our community question, where we talk to our listeners about, well, we're talking about, well, let me just introduce it. Let me not just be abstract about it.
I like the abstract. It's fine.
Well, you know. But yeah, so folks, the gist is, call in if you have thoughts on this. But, you know, it is November now. The winter blues are setting in, some would say. Daylight savings time is this weekend. Here's your reminder. It's fall back. So, you know, we're looking for a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of positivity. Let's get that spark going. And so I and Tammy and I want to know, what do you like about where you live? Your neighbors, your neighborhood, things that are close by. What do you like about Oregon, Washington, Pacific Northwest generally? Help folks get inspired. Maybe it could be big, it could be real tiny. Give us a call, 503-231-8187.
Thank you, Althea. Big or small. It can be as small as, I like this one specific tree. Well, that's not small. That's pretty nice to see a beautiful tree. Well, okay.
Trees can be big and small.
There's kind of this tree that I like very much, and yeah. It's on the walk with the dog, and I could tell it's been there at least like 200 years or something. And mm-hmm. I look every time I look at it, and I look up and I look down, and I just like, I don't know. I feel a little bit more rooted, and my back straightens out, and I'm like, this is a good tree.
Yeah.
And I keep a mobbing. So that's something like that. But if it is also the color of the wall in your room, or
yeah, that's sweet.
The coffee shop that you don't like, or the coffee shop that you do like that's next to the one that you don't like. Althea, I'd love to hear some of your opinions as well. And just for the caller to call in, the number is 503-231-8187. We'd love to hear your favorite things about where you live.
Yeah, I live in a place with a lot of trees, and that was definitely like nice during the pandemic, just because kind of felt like I was in the woods rather than like in like a dearth of societal interaction. And also there's a lot of people walk their dogs in my neighborhood, so we get to see dogs. That's pretty cool. There's like stuff within walking distance, a little bit of a trek in terms of the hill, but it's good, you know, close enough to things that I like, far enough away that, you know, I'm like 15 minutes from everything. That's what I like to say. I'll
like
be there in 15 minutes.
The thing, yeah, the 15 minutes away from everything.
But yeah, you know, the trees are lovely. I don't know. I'm wondering what other folks think about. It's like, what's that little thing that you like about where you live? Maybe you have just the right amount of space.
Mm.
Oh, good light. Mm. We have some good lighting at my house. And we've proliferated our plant collection through the pandemic, and that's been lovely.
This is true. Althea's been giving out plants.
I have.
Yeah.
DM us on Instagram if you really need a spider plant. Ours had a lot of babies at The Gap Radio. Semi-serious if you actually do want that.
There's, again, the phone number is 503-231-8187. I live not too far from the North Portland Library,
mm-hmm.
and just like in North Portland in general, I love how redlining was obviously a thing in that area, and I love how people are now starting to really make that known and like really try to like educate the community about where they're living, you know, and like mm-hmm. what and even, you know, before redlining, just, you know, the indigenous lands that we're on. And just to like get to know that part of where I'm at, you know, because I'm, you know, not from here, many ways.
Mm.
And it's I really like that, because I've never seen that much emphasis into understanding truly what lands you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love learning that, and I like that I'm gonna learn it. I'm walking down the street. I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna see it.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like it. I like seeing it all the time. I like being reminded, and also walking by that tree, you know? I feel like a little bit, it's like a little bit of a Sesame Street thing going on, because I know my neighbors, so I say hi to them all the time, and, you know, with the dog, and it's very neighborly. It's very, I thought this type of lifestyle, you know, isn't real anymore. I thought people were just like hustle and bustle, but it's there's still a little piece of paradise for sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like my neighbors. There's a, you know, being, I have a neighbor below me and a neighbor above me. So it's like, you know, listening to the walls, feeling what's going on in the building as a whole, seeing what everybody's up to.
Neighbors with nice, like gardens.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love the neighbors with the gardens. Really nice stuff.
They put in the work to beautify, and that's wonderful.
And the native plants too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I learned a lot walking down the neighborhood in North Portland. It's a lot of educational stuff.
Oh yeah, there's like a whole bunch of this year there were great blackberries in my neighborhood.
Mm.
And I'd go on my little walk and just gorge myself on, like, my hands were like stained purple by the time I got home of just sitting there and plucking them off the tree.
Another thing that I really like, this is just greater Portland stuff, is the working goats. When you see them, you know, the working goats?
Tell me more.
They are goats, and
okay.
they work.
Yeah.
Put them to work. There's a bunch of blueberries or blackberries. Go eat this. And they eat it. And they don't get paid, but they eat. I think that it's like there's a person who spearheads that, but that's pretty cute. And I think I also saw like another goat somewhere in Milwaukee or something in like someone's front yard. And I'm like, okay, this is very cool. Okay.
Yeah. There's a, you were like working goats. And I was like, are we talking real goats or the acronym greatest of all time?
Oh, no. It actually is. I think they're called the working goats. I think. I may be wrong, but if you are.
Working goats. I'm familiar with the concept of, like, you know, come over, eat all your dandelions or whatever.
That's adorable.
Good for them. Good for those goats. Really pillars of the community.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Else you'd have to, like, burn it or, you know, you don't want to. You know, put the toxins and stuff. So, and then, you know, then goes the land. But yeah, that's some of our favorite things that we're here talking about, some of our favorite things about where we live in Portland and then, you know, general Oregon, Pacific Northwest, whether it's inside or outside, we'd love to hear from you. 503-231-8187 is the phone number.
Mm-hmm. There's a one thing that I like about where I live is that there is a house in my neighborhood that goes all out for every holiday.
Aww.
They just did Halloween, and there's a couple houses that do pretty well, but this one, they have a lot of the inflatables, which usually you see people commit to maybe one or two inflatable, whether it's Halloween or Christmas. I think they even have Thanksgiving like inflatables as well, but it's like their whole yard is packed. Like if you needed something in the yard, you'd be like elbowing snowmen and witches out of the way. But it's pretty fun. Love to see how they arrange all of these accoutrements, if you will.
There's a couple of those houses. There's one, and they also they have the music playing in the background of their I'm thinking specifically for Christmas, and it's like, I have to stop and look at it. This is great.
Yeah, the more you look, the more you see. You know, people get creative with the lights.
Oh yeah. And then sometimes when I don't like my neighborhood too much because it's, there's a couple of bars and stuff, so sometimes folks get rowdy. I just like that I can get away from it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some schools around, great parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really taken I'm like, I'm going to go to the park and just hang out here for 2 hours, and this is just what I'm going to do. So I love that I have the space to do that in the city.
Yeah, it's nice. But yeah, folks, call in. Let us know, what do you like about where you live? We're talking little things. We're talking medium things. We're talking small things or big things. I didn't go in the scale order. I said small, medium, small. If there's big things that you like too, we'd love to hear about that. 503-231-8187. Let us know what those things are for you. We would love to hear about them.
Especially during the, you know, when you first start living on your own, like, you know, leaving your family's home, for me at least, you know, it took a little bit to understand why I want to keep things, you know, tidy for myself, you know, and now I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, oh, maybe we burn a candle and things smell nice. So I have a bit of like a candle collection. I have 3 candles.
Yeah.
Very stingy.
So. I mean, saying that you're a candle collector, I think conjures some pretty grandiose.
Yeah, I have the 3 candles that I've
not to invalidate your candle collection. I'm sure they smell great, and I'm sure you'll procure more.
I will once they're on sale, or, and this is this, I'm going to melt them all into one candle.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll see what happens.
That sounds like a fun experiment.
Yes, I hope they're all scented, so maybe that won't be good, but...
Yeah, I've tried to, like, I had a candle that, like, the wick burned down wrong, you know, when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, great idea, I'll just cut up the candle, melt it back down into, like, a jar, and then... with a wick in it, and that'll be my candle. And it was not a good idea. First of all, it was hard to cut with my knife got all sticky.
Mm-hmm.
It smells way too intense. Mm-hmm. And now I just have like a Tupperware container of like apple smelling wax that like it's half of it didn't even fit in the jar because it was so big. I don't know. It was a mistake. But I mean, you know, appreciating the ethos of, you know, reusing and repurposing.
In the theme of the day,
yeah. And I mean, that's a thing that you can like about Portland and the Pacific Northwest, like recycling, reusing, giving things new life. I think that is something that folks around here are into.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know you could do so many things with the mason jar until I got out of here. I'm like, oh, might as well. I'm just mason jarring it up.
Yeah.
I learned so much about like coffee grounds.
Yeah.
Don't throw them away. Put them in the ground. Like, it's good for the dirt.
Yeah.
I learned that on the dirt bag here on KABU. I learned that a couple of stuff on the show.
Shout out to the dirt bag.
Yes. I love these things. I'm a big fan of saving money not spending money, shall I say. And so anytime where I learn new ways to recycle things or reuse things, definitely. Yeah. Yes, but we'd love to hear from you, 503-231-8187. Some of your favorite things about where you live, big or large, big, small, medium, extra small.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. I love the native plants here.
The native plants are lovely. I mean, yeah, just getting to be out in nature, not being far from it at all, I think is wonderful.
We're talking a lot about the nature stuff. I appreciate that.
Well, I think, yeah, it's very grounding in a way. In a literal sense, I think. need to sniff some pine needles and then I'll be good. It's sometimes how I feel.
And don't forget the good old Doug firs.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget them. State tree, I think.
Blue spruce, the Doug fir, yeah.
Pretty sure about that.
Yeah.
One thing that I actually really like about Portland is that it kind of feels like, you know, like 10 towns wearing one trench coat, like disguising itself as a major city. Just because, you know, you can go to a different part of town, maybe a different side of the river, and things are like, it's like, oh, it's a whole different vibe over here. You guys got so much cool stuff. There's great food, you know, like I could hang out here for a while and then go and have, you know, a different vibe somewhere else. I'm into that. I think that's cool.
Yeah. It's the quadrants are like, have their
even within the quadrants there's
oh
like,
yeah that's true yeah
actually I think it's a sextant now.
Ooh.
Not to nitpick, but South and North Portland have been carved out.
All right, because there's a northeast and
north northeast south, and north, south yeah. Southwest apparently.
South southwest, jeez.
I don't know that the popular culture has really embraced that. What's quadrant but for five?
If you know the answer, you should call on in 503-231.
Quintet. No,
there. Yeah, right.
There
like
we go.
Come on. The jazz players.
Sure.
Right. Oh, that was embarrassing.
Bring it back to the music. The music of the city.
Yeah. Also great music here. Some fantastic music came out of here, and it's really awesome to like casually see some of these musicians. It's like, oh, you're a legend, but I'm gonna play it cool because you're just eating your breakfast at this coffee house, so never mind. And
stifle my excitement.
Yeah, exactly. 503-231-8187 for the last few minutes. We'd love to hear from you. Although we could talk all day about our favorite things in Portland and Oregon in general.
Yeah, but it's nice to, you know, get a little bit centered and in touch with what those things are that you know, can bring a little light to your neighborhood. That kind of thing, I think, is very cool. And I'm excited to hear what folks have to say. 503-231-8187. Even just some of the stuff that Tammy's mentioned, I'm like, oh, hey, yeah. So there's some stuff like that in my neighborhood, too.
So we do have a caller on the line with us. Sis, one second.
All righty. We'll get to that caller in just a moment. But yeah, you know, there's it kind of, I think spending so much time, you know, alone in the house the past year has like forced me to be more, you know, mindful of what things I like about it. Maybe some things that I would like to improve in the future. Because, you know, that is home base and, you know, kind of an important little spot.
The hot springs, the Jefferson Hot Springs, also a thing that I really like in Oregon.
Oh, okay.
That's Southern Oregon, but still.
Hey, loop it all in.
I shall. Yeah. Yes.
We all deserve a shout.
if you would like to call in again, please do 503-231-8187.
Yeah, sorry to lose you there, but yes. Sue, anybody else wants a call, give us a call, 503-231-8187. You know, what do you like about where you live? How can we take a kernel of positivity when the daylight savings time is ending? Which I'm going to say again just because I don't want people to forget, because I didn't remember that was happening.
Especially if you are more like into manual things, like you have like the clocks and have like a non-digital clock, or maybe some digital clocks, they won't change it automatically. So yes, fall back is fall the way back to think of it, because I didn't know. Thank you, Althea.
It's on Sunday. So everybody brace yourselves. And this takes me back to last week when I was telling you about how many persuasive essays I had to write as a child about whether or not daylight savings time should be a thing.
Oh, that's going to be its own thing.
Yeah. We don't have to have that conversation, but suffice it to say that public school kids are well aware of the pitfalls of daylight savings time, you could say. So I guess I'm kind of ambivalent. I guess fall back is better than spring forward, mildly less disorienting. And it'll be a little bit lighter out here in the morning when we come in to do this show. So that'll be good.
Yes. And I think that we got Sue back on the line. Sue, are you there with us?
I am.
Hi, Sue.
Hi. What I love about where I live is that I can go for a walk in the morning and not see a single car. It's beautiful. I live out within a 30-minute drive of Portland, so that's accessible still. But I live out in the country, and it's gorgeous out here. But, you know, there's so many upsides, but there's a few downsides as well. But I can save salamanders off the road. I can look at mushrooms while I'm walking, seeing the falling leaves, and it's a gorgeous place.
That's wonderful. Say more about saving salamanders. I'm curious about that.
Well, they tend to want to migrate at certain times of the year, and so they want to cross the road, and they're not very fast. Uh-huh. And so when I see them, I grab them and take them to the other side so that they can go on their way without getting slaughtered. But I did find one yesterday that had a humpback, and that's a sign of pollution, unfortunately. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I live out in the tulies, but still, they're exposed to something. But, we've got a lot of salamanders, and I love all the little critters and just the lichen and all of this. It's just beautiful out here.
That's wonderful. Salamander Savior Sue. That's the nickname.
Well, they do represent the element of fire, you know, so it's like you got to save them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoy your show. I listen to it when I'm on my walk, so sometimes I'm huffing and puffing on a call, but
oh yeah, tell the salamanders to listen.
I will.
It's our new demographic.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks, Sue. You for saving the salamanders.
Yeah, thank you for saving the salamanders.
You have a delightful day.
You too.
Bye.
Oh, what a charming anecdote.
No, that's, you have to save the salamanders.
You gotta save the salamanders. What, are you gonna sit there and not save them?
And that's very interesting that she could spot out the humpback for and be able to name that as pollution. That's really sad. That's good. You know, I mean, it's bad that it's happening, but being able to spot that's these are the type of skills I'm talking about. You know.
Well, I mean, in another sense, it's like being in touch with your neighborhood.
Exactly.
Are the salamanders doing? What are the metaphorical salamanders going through in your area? Call in about that. 503-231-8187. We do have a few minutes left. Talking about, what do you like where you live? Maybe you got a cool neighbor. Maybe your neighbors are just okay, but the neighborhood is very cool. We would love to hear about it. 503-231-8187.
You really touched me with that one.
The salamander?
Yeah, the salamanders, yeah. I had have a neighbor, and he is really awesome, and he does illustrations. And he does, like, animal illustrations. But they're, like, animals, and they're doing, like, funny stuff, you know, like adult content stuff. Well, not like too adult, you know. And it's really funny.
Can you give me an example just to clarify that for the
listeners? Like one was like reindeers drinking or something.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that was like last Christmas. He had a couple of reindeers drinking. They're just like being sloppy, and I'm like, that's really funny. But he also reads a lot, so he let me borrow Langston Hughes' short stories, and he's always reading, and he's always like, you know, talking with me about what he's reading and stuff. And he reads more like science fiction and fiction, while I'll do more like just not fun, like history or like theory stuff. So it's really nice to get like that like, I don't know, that like nice, you know, hearing about prose and like short stories and stuff. So I really appreciate talking with him. And he's just like really nice. And someone was, you know, in the parking spot, and he went and spoke with them very nicely for me. And I was like, oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you.
That's sweet. Yeah. I mean, let me hype up my neighbors for a second. This time last year, my car battery was on its last legs.
Oh, we remember. Yeah.
I don't know how much I talked about it on the show, but we were. It was old. It was just old. And was there battery acid leaking out of it? Sure.
Oh.
Eventually, I got it replaced. But there was a couple times where it was like so frustrating because it died at my house, which is like good. It didn't die out in the world, but it's like, and then I was feeling very socially anxious about asking my neighbors for help. But they did help me, of course, which is great. And then, but the second time that I came to them and asked them, and they're like, hey, you know, do you want to just have this like remote start kit? Like, we have two of them. We're worried about you because you seem to keep having this problem, which was very, very sweet of them. I eventually did get a new battery in my car and have not had problems since. Turns out the old battery was the problem. You know, I got a new battery, works great. It's a little PSA for all you kids out there that are not acquainted with how car batteries work. But that was very sweet of my neighbors.
Yeah, that's really, they're like the really fake D ones, right?
No, I'm kidding.
I know they're you need two of them, not just one. But yeah, I think last time when you mentioned it, that's when we got to talking about bowling alone and kind of like the idea of social capital and people and kind of the loss of the metaphorical Rotary Club, you know.
Yeah.
And that'd be a really interesting space to come back to it now that things are starting to reopen up a little bit, and maybe you know, us having a reappreciation for where we live, for how we live our lives, for our neighbors' lives, you know, for each other, through this like this turmoil / awakening / whatever it is that you want to call it over the last year and a half, 2 years almost, and kind of how do we reengage, you know, into society, caring as much as we do, knowing as much as we do, fearing as much as we do, you know?
Yeah, I'd be very interested in that, because that's a great, I totally forgot that that my car battery problems are kind of like what spurred our neighborliness through line in some of the episodes. And that's some of my favorite, you know, conversations that we've had with listeners is about, you know, the neighborliness aspect.
Definitely. And I think the, you know, this of what do you love about where you live, or what do you enjoy about it the most, it it's kind of like another little piece of it, you know, because mm-hmm. sometimes we can't really help where we're at. And
sometimes it sucks to live where you live.
Yeah, I'll sometimes. Say that, yeah, you know? It really
we're,
sucks.
We're glossing to, yeah. over that part today. Oh, yeah, but, yeah. you know, balance in all things.
Mm, there we go.
Is what we're after. But we are coming up on the end of our time. I want to thank everybody for listening. This was The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here, too. Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
But we are just about out of time. Folks, if you missed part of this episode, you want to listen back, check us out, kboo.fm/thegap. All of our back episodes are on there. I will be updating the show notes shortly, hopefully with a fun little graphic. And we'll add links there as well to Ridwell, our interview from earlier. We spoke with Taylor Lowen. Thank you to everyone who supported us in our most recent fall fun drive. That was very cool. Got to get support from our listeners, keeping the community radio going. So yeah, kboo.fm/thegap. You can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. Instagram is @thegapradio. We're very contactable if you would like to do that, is yes. what I'm trying to say.
Indeed. And don't forget Sunday to fall back.
Falling back on Sunday.
1 hour back.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will be back next week. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Bye. Girls, we run this.
Like the KBOO Community Radio Facebook page. Find KBOO Community Radio on Facebook and like our page, and have events, ticket giveaways, and great information delivered directly to your personal feed. 1 out of every 7 humans is on Facebook, so using Facebook to share KBOO with your friends and family has never been easier. Like KBOO on Facebook today.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closures of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online.